Right now, that music can mean only one thing. Johnny B. Goode. And this weekend, he wasn't Johnny B. Goode. But hey, I'm not going there. Back from his bachelor weekend, where he may or may not be recovered, he's the voice of the Hokies. John Laser, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm good. And first things first, McElroy, ramblers are going to ramble, and I'm a rambler, and I rambled, all right?
You were rambling at parts of this weekend. But as I said to Paulie wanted stories on Monday, and I told him, the sign of a good bachelor party, it's like being in the mafia. And the mafia, there's this little thing called the omerta, the code of silence, and that's what I've been practicing for the past 3 days. And granted, my wife is listening, and your fiance's in the next room, I think we should keep that going.
Well, you're the only one that remembers anything anyway, and we know where you live.
This is true. John Laser, he is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. All right, we are at the midway point of spring football, and there's a couple other things I want to ask you here, non-football related at Virginia Tech. But since we're here and we're at the middle point, who or what has stood out? What player, storyline, position, injury? Just give me something.
It's the youth, I think, for this team that has stood out, and you knew that on paper going into spring, and you knew that with some of the early departures and some of the guys that have graduated or exhausted their eligibility. You've got to have guys step up, and it's always interesting in spring because I think there's an urgency to do that to some degree, but it's not as urgent as it becomes in fall camp in August because you don't have the guys that didn't early enroll. You don't have your full roster. You obviously sit some guys down as precaution, so you don't get a full glimpse. You get work and you get structure, but I don't think you get a full picture of who those guys may be that will stand up. And I do think some guys have begun to emerge, particularly in the defensive backfield, but at the same time, it's a young football team, and I think spring football is doubly important because of that this year, but through that you're going to have some growing pains as well.
Jalen Holston back practice, and that was a nugget from yesterday when Justin Fuente was talking. The running back position, obviously a question mark. It's been different people in different places, different times. Somebody's shown glimpses, but Justin Fuente, and I'll let you elaborate on this, he talked yesterday, he said it's more than just the O-line or the block. It's about getting past that open man, that open tackler. And he alluded to a couple different things that the running back crew needs to do better to get that extra yard or yards.
Yeah, and I think what was interesting about what he said, and he was also always big on the unblocked hat. He talked about that a ton last year. I think he had a frustration level with Trayvon McMillan and Deshaun McLeese on a few occasions when they were unable to do that because they felt like they blocked it up, schemed it up right, and those guys didn't make that man miss. But what I thought was interesting about what he said was Stephen Peoples is going to make that guy miss in a different fashion than, let's say, Deshaun McLeese is or Tarius Wheatley or Jalen Holston previously. And I think what that means is for Peoples, that might be a physical maneuver to make that unblock hit miss. You know, he might shed that tackle. For Deshaun McLeese, it's going to be a jump cut. It's going to be some sort of jitterbug move. It's going to be obviously something that's predicated on his speed, and those guys have to recognize that they're not all the same back, and it's also not going to be the same type of hitter. For some, it might be a safety coming up if it's an edge play. For others, it might be the middle linebacker if you're coming through the A-gap. So it's different, but they just have to recognize at the same time that that's the goal, not just getting through the original hole, but once they're there, making an explosive play.
We're not going to get clarity. We're not going to get definitive answers at the end of spring football because guys are injured. Certain guys can't practice. Certain guys just can't be in the offense or defense. But give me one thing that when this thing wraps up here next week or a week and a half that you'd like to feel better about.
Well, I think it's the overall health of this football team and just seeing who comes out of spring and is ready to go and that you don't have those situations where depth has thinned out. You know, again, like I said in my first response, Wes, there's not going to be a ton of known for certain in terms of the depth on this team because of youth and you don't have the full roster in. I feel pretty good about both lines, the offensive line, the defensive line. I was actually chatting with Coach about that yesterday and saying, you know, if there are areas on this team where you have experience at your line, so you feel pretty good about that. Wide receiver depth is something that he and Brad Cornelison are continually talking about. You don't get a clear picture in spring because, again, some guys are nicked and dinged and aren't full go and things like that. And you'd love to see more of that coming off the spring game. But I think you're going to basically feel the same way coming off of spring that you felt going into spring. And that is it's going to be a wait and see going into August. And quite frankly, that's fine.
Last one in regards to spring football. John Laser with us, the voice of the Hokies. Name that you're learning or hearing more as the weeks go on.
Yeah, DeAndre Planton is a name that they continue to talk about off the offensive line, and I know that's not sexy to talk offensive line, but it's a big deal because he's potentially the replacement for Wyatt Teller, and he was impressive last year in the last couple of games. He took over for Parker Osterloh at tackle, and they're trying to transition him inside. So a number of those guys. Javon Quillen, I think, is an interesting name that continues to pop up, and Bryce Watts as well. You know, like I say, some of the guys that aren't here, Jeremy Webb, who's the junior college transfer at corner coming in from ASA in New York, likely profiles as a guy that could compete for a starting job. But while he's not here, you essentially have to prepare as if he's not going to be here, and that would put Bryce Watts at the moment opposite of Adonis Alexander. And he's the guy who doesn't have a ton of football background, a speedster, a track guy, but I think he's really making strides. And you hear that name come out of the defensive coach's mouths a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Spring football game a week from Saturday. All the festivities you can find at HokieSports.com. John Lazor you can find right here every Wednesday at 7:45. Before I let you roll, you are a seasoned broadcaster now. You've called games in the NCAA tournament. You call bowl games. You've called baseball games. But you've been to Augusta. Describe what it's like to be at Augusta for the Masters in comparison to any other sporting event you've ever been to.
It's magical. It's romantic. It's nostalgic. It exceeds every expectation you'd ever have. It's the reason why getting tickets are such a tremendously difficult old deal, particularly since they seem to be cracking down this year on the secondary market. It's hard. You know, I think that CBS and ESPN now do such a phenomenal job because they're forced to by Augusta National and the Masters Committee of painting it in such a romantic light that you can't help but get emotional about your family ties or your historical ties to it. You know, I was trying to explain it to my fiance last night, and it was just going horrendously, you know, about why it was so important. And I explained it this way. You know, I take the favorite thing that you have growing up about the time you spent with your dad or your mom or your grandfather, whoever taught you the game of golf, for me, my grandfather and my dad, and then years later, in my case, 2011, get to go there and see my dad, who has trouble walking due to diabetes that he's had for decades and some other just getting older type symptoms, and just him bouncing around that course. You know, we looped the entire thing up and down the hills, and never a complaint, never a hesitation, and just the logistical way they operate the tournament as well, and the way the players treat it is entirely different than a business as usual, of course, week out on the PGA Tour, which in itself is a pretty cool spectacle. So it's all those things wrapped into one. If there's one sporting event that you've gone, that you would ever go to and think your expectations are off the charts, it will exceed it, I guarantee that.
Fantastic answer, buddy. Fantastic weekend. It was fun. And the countdown, what are we now? Hashtag, and by the way, we are going to find a way to get all Hokie fans, all Skrulls fans, and the fans of this show, which are about eight, we want to get, was it hashtag American royalty on the day of your wedding trending? Since you're getting married the same day as Prince Harry, we want to counter that with your big to-do in D.C.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think your listenership's down to seven because Hank moved away.
Miss Hank.
Hey, Parney's not around. Someone's got to take the shots.
Love Hank. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
See
you. He's John Lazor. Hey, who needs friends when you got Lays? You can find him on Twitter at LaysVT.